Blog Talk Radio.
And the
Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ the Lord, Savior of all who diligently seek Him. And He said to His Father at the end, that of these you've given me, I've not lost one. So, brothers and sisters, that is comforting, that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and of the people who God has drawn to Him, He will not lose one, save the son of perdition, who we know to be the Antichrist. We want to welcome you here tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss last days ministers. Last days ministers. We have two types of ministers in these last days. We have ministers who are human rights activists, because you see, Jesus Christ is the greatest human rights activist that there is, that there was, and that there ever will be. And to follow Christ, we must be willing to act on our faith. So that word activist is very fitting. We have here tonight Reverend Dr. Bud Harris Jr., founder of the Freedom School in Fresno, California, and a champion for human and civil rights. I want you to please read an article for me. It's called Christianity and Civil Disobedience. Christianity and Civil Disobedience. And that's in my Free Speak blog, FreeSpak blog. I have a URL for it right here on our billboard for Blog Talk Radio. This is Mary Love's Justice Prayer Meeting, where we meet on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we discuss the real Bible, the real Word of God. And we have other people join us from time to time. And I'm so proud tonight to be able to bring to you one of my activist ministers. You know, pastors across the country have been called on by the Department of Homeland Security to join clergy response teams. Their function is to placate and control the people in the event of a national or local disaster, emergencies, including martial law. Clergy response teams are expected to use Romans 13:1 to make Christians compliant to government dictates, even if obeying means facing harm. And so we're going to talk to you tonight about not being so subservient to government, but making government live up to its promise that this will be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. So pastors are teaching people to obey Romans 13:1, but there are reasons why that is misunderstood. What that means is misunderstood. So I want you to go to the article called Christianity and Civil Disobedience and read why Romans 13:1 is misunderstood. Now, Dr. Harris organized the Black Lives Matter Freedom and Justice March, which made front page news at the Fresno Bee Sunday paper. And we're very excited to turn the rest of this program over to him. I give to you Reverend Dr. Floyd Harris Jr. He will tell you something about his history in the movement and the struggle. He will tell you why it is fitting and proper for Christians to be activists. In other words, doers of the word, active in obeying God. And then I hope he will close with a prayer. I'm going to be a listener tonight. I'm going to sit. I'm going to be like Mary, who sat at the foot of Jesus and listened to his words. God bless you. Enjoy the pastor. Pastor, thank you so much for coming.
Good evening, Ms. Neal. Thank you for having me on your show. It's a blessing to be able to have the freedom to call in tonight. A lot of our people today don't know the reality of the word freedom. But I just want to give honor to God and to those that are listening. I had a dear friend. I hope she called in. I don't know if you have another number from Fresno on your screen, but I gave her the number to call in and just listen in tonight. I also want to say that Ms. Neal has been doing a wonderful, wonderful job exposing injustice around the country, whether it's nationally and internationally. I just want to thank her for connecting the dots of us, revolutionary young men and women across the world. And also want to thank her for giving those who don't have a voice a voice. I want to just really salute you tonight, Ms. Neal, for your contributes. I know what it feels like to not to be honored. The scripture speaks about a prophet is not honored in his own land. And so I know
thank you, Reverend.
The struggles
thank
that
you very
go
much.
Through day in and
yes.
day out, and you help, and you help them and empower them, and you don't hear from them no more. And so I think that it's just to be a willing servant. I receive no funds for empowering our folks, helping our folks, and nor am I looking for any funds. I'm not a 501c3 pimp. I don't believe that that's what God called me to do, to pimp our people. At my church, New Light, the New Light Church of God, our ministerial staff don't even get paid. We don't believe that we should charge the people for payment for God's word. And so I just wanted to, before I go into what I have to say tonight, just giving a shout out to all of the freedom fighters, Reverend Pinckney, who's a political prisoner now, for standing up for our folk, our family in Bittenhoff, Michigan. You know, all the freedom fighters who was assassinated by the racist cops of Oakland PD. And so the list just goes on and on and on. But I just want to say, for those who want to do more research on me, my name is Reverend Dr. Floyd E. Harris, Jr. I'm based out on the West Coast out here in California. Fresno, California is the city that I live in, which I have renamed Fresno to Mississippi Fresno because of the injustice that we have out here. I compare it to Mississippi. You can go on YouTube and type in my name, Reverend Harris, Floyd E. Harris Jr. And just do a lot of research. Google my name, and you'll see all the work that God has allowed me to touch the lives of people. And you know, yesterday this year, Ms. Neal, I opened up a school at my church called the Freedom School. The Lord put it on my heart to open up this school, and I base it off of the principles of the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California. Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale and all of them, they were a type of men and women, Angela Davis, who believed in doing for self. I believe that I seen Dr. Kennedy wore a shirt that says, "Do for self or be a slave." do for self or be a slave. And I think that that's, that was the motto of the Black Panther Party, was that they were wanting to be able to build their community the way they want their community built. They wanted to educate their children how, according to how they feel that they want their children to be educated. A lot of you may know or may not know that the lunch program that we have here in America was started by the Black Panther Party. There's a lot of things that they contribute to this country that you don't hear about. All you hear is that they you know, carry guns, and the media made them to look like they were troublemakers, when in reality were, but that someone said, if you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in a book, and the book cover would intimidate the Black man or the Black woman to not read. But the Black Panther Party understood that what was in that book was a book of empowerment, and to understand the system that was put in place over 400 years ago by George Washington and his little clique of friends, who did not have Black people at the table to help make the Constitution. The Constitution of the United States was made to benefit white folk and not Black folk. And so we still today are still dealing with this Constitution and policy that was created without us even having a word to say what should it sound like. So basically now we have to go and change policy now so that we can be able to read, so it's not illegal anymore. The Jim Crow laws and things that are on the book. And the list just goes on and on. And so we have been oppressed people for many, many, many years. The Indians, the indigenous people, they were oppressed. And so we sit in a time now, Sister Neil, that it's almost do or die now. And I believe that God has called me to stand for the people. I feel like Moses in the Bible sometimes, constantly trying to educate our folks and to let them understand that you have a voice. You are somebody. You're God's child. No one has the right to silence you. No one has the right to beat you. No one has the right to make you feel less than. And so, you know, Sister Neil, when I look at the flag now, I have to look at it, and some folk agree with me and some folks disagree, and I'm okay with that. But I believe I have a right to how I feel as a Black man living in this country, my ancestors for over 400 years. And the motto of the United States flag is that we are taught to stand up and to salute this flag and put our hand over our heart with pride and joy, chest out and our chin up, and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I have a question about that now. How is there liberty and justice for all when there is no justice for all? Because those political prisoners that's in jail now, like Reverend Pinckney, you can't, that doesn't go well with him. That doesn't sit well with Reverend Pinckney. Your brother, sister, you can't get information and reports from the government right now for what they did to your brother. So how is there justice for all? I think someone needs to go back and redo that Pledge of Allegiance, because it doesn't represent all of us today. When we look at the hundreds and thousands of Black people that's in prison right now, just for nonviolent situations, so that the country can make profit, so the country can make money, so it's job security for police officers and job security for correctional officers, job security for parole officers, job security at the expense of the American people. And so there has to be a shepherd. There has to be someone to come and speak truth to power and to awaken God's people, because God's people are asleep. See, you can't. Grandma taught me. My grandma raised me, and she always said, son, you just can't eat from everybody's table, because everybody is not going to cook, is not clean, and everyone is not going to cook their food done. So you got to be careful. And so a lot of our people who go to church today, I believe, mean well and want to do well, but it's the message that's coming across the podium that would empower the people to take a stand or sit down. I tell my congregation that Jesus died on the cross. He had a nail put in his left hand and a nail in his right hand. He had nails put in his feet. He had 32 thorns on his head. He was speared in his side where blood was gushing out while his mother Mary was looking. What did he do to deserve that? And he was so humble after he was being crucified. And the world was looking at him. He told his father, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so for those of us who walk around every day in America, we have to understand that we have to bear our cross every day. You have to carry your cross when you sleep. You have to carry your cross in the midnight hour and in the morning time, because you don't know when injustice is going to pop up on you. And this is what is happening in America right now, that our people are asleep. And then we get people who tries to silence you, Miss Neal, like Colin Powell. Cut you off the internet. Cut your phone off, where you can't communicate with the people. And these are the things that we're dealing with today. And so at New Life, from New Life Church of God, I'm the assistant pastor there. Senior pastor is Pastor Paul McCoy. I'm also the international president of National Network in Action, which is a civil and human rights organization. And we opened up this school this year. He said, well, what do you mean a school? See, I didn't go to the school where this system has to give you credentials. And I'm not against those who go to school and get your credentials, because I think it's important if you want to put in the time. But I don't feel that I need to go and have someone rubber stamp a piece of paper to tell me when I can and can't teach my children. So I opened up the Freedom School. And the first word of this school is freedom. See, many of you don't understand what freedom is. I had over 15 young black males and brown males in this Freedom School to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning on time. See, that's one of the problems, Sister Neal, is that, you know, today our young men don't know how to get out of the bed. Our young men feel that, and it's not so much their fault, it's so much of the parents' fault to allow them to stay in the bed to 2 or 3 o'clock in the daytime. But these young men have to get up out the bed, be at the Freedom School, and we taught these young men how to stand at about face. We taught these young men how to shake hands and look someone in the eye. We taught these young men how to tighten their belt up and not be sagging and showing their drawers. We taught these young men how to form how to drive tractors and how to make rolls and how to plant food. This is what we teaching at the Freedom School. We taught these young men how to do janitorial. We taught these young men how to use a lawnmower and how to prune trees and fix sprinklers. These are the things that survival skills that would help our young men survive today. No, I'm not against the girls and boys club and, you know, going out doing arts and crafts. I'm not against that. But you got to have something more than that so that people can be able to respect you. See, it's not about being liked. It's about being respected. I told our young men at the Freedom School, I said, you know, I'm a show and tell man. I said, one day we all going to go out sagging. That's exactly what I told them. I said, I'm going to sag with you. And we're just going to go out in the community into the mall and see how people receive us. You know? And I said, in the next week, we're going to go out suited and booted. Well, what do you mean suited and booted? I ain't never heard what that suited and booted means. What I mean is we're going to go out in suits. Our hair cut, shiny shoes. I said, because I want you to see the difference how people look at you and treat you and talk to you. We taught the young men how to tie a necktie. This is the Freedom School here at my church. You should have seen some of the ties they was tying. Some of them I had to cut off with some scissors or something. They're making knots. But bless their heart. Because we were planting seeds in them. Positive seeds. And then I had the Brown Berets who we collaborate with. I had their brother Ralphie come over and do a Know Your Rights with in front of our police officers training with these young men. Because I told these young men that one day you're going to be pulled over by police. You're going to be at gunpoint by police just because of the color of your skin. Because this world hates you. It hated your ancestors. If it hated your ancestors, why should it like you? But you got to like yourself and love yourself more because you got to know how to handle yourself when you come in front of this cop. We had the prison moratorium. Debbie Reyes come over and talk to them about prisons. This is how I invest my time back into my children because I got to make sure that when I become a senior that I have put some time, invest time in these children and make sure that they're going to take care of me just like I'm taking care of my grandmother who's 85 years old because she took the time out to teach me. And so the Lord put it on my heart to have a Black Lives Matter Freedom and Justice March here in Fresno yesterday. And we had Sister Donnie Smith come out of Stockton. Her son was shot at 48 times and was hit 18 times with an assault rifle and a bullet behind the head. And her son was unarmed. We had Sister Mitchell down in Vallejo, Mario Marrero, where their brother was shot and gunned down in front of their house. Police jumped on the hood, unloaded his clip, put another clip in, jumped on the hood and started shooting down at her brother, killed him on the spot. They came here yesterday to be with us and to share their stories and to empower us and to let us know that we're not alone. This is the work of Jesus Christ. It's not of the work to sit around having pastors' appreciations every year with pastors ain't doing nothing. You raise all that money for yourself. But yet you look at our people suffer and die in the streets like Michael Brown. But yet, my good brother, Cliff O'Dolly, can ask his congregation to buy him up. See, someone's perpetrating a fraud. And I know the God that I serve is no fraud. And so they came down yesterday with us. We had over 100-something people at the march. We had folks who spoke at the rally, and after the rally, we took the streets. Going into a community that has the highest concentration of poverty next to Katrina. That's Fresno, California. A community that has packing houses surrounded by it, where you can't even breathe properly. But City Hall don't care about that. Long as they making their money over there, the hell with y'all on the smell. We care less. We making money over here. I mean, you have trucks driving down the street with cow bodies falling off the top, with blood running all down the street. And we talk about equality. And I want to tell the listening audience, be careful. Be careful next election time. When a politician comes in and starts talking about they're Christian and all this type of stuff, watch out, that's a red flag. Because politicians today know to go to the black church if you want to run for office. But you vote for them and you don't see them for the next 4 years. See, that's an injustice there. Because they done cut a deal with the pastor in the back room. The politician that brought in some chicken and watermelon and hot dogs, and they done cut the deal in the back. And they leave you out because it ain't about you. It's about them. And so many of our people go to these institutions being misguided. There's been many a times where many people come from other churches, prominent churches, middle-class churches, asking me for help. But why are you asking me for help? Your pastor's over there eating and taking pictures with the mayor. Why are you asking me for help? Your city council person over there doing under-the-table stuff, why you go to him? But the type of man I am, I help them anyway. And so as we go through the community chanting, hands up, don't shoot. I mean, it was like a roar at a football game. People was coming all outside the doors, seeing what was going on, 9 o'clock in the morning. We had little children with signs saying, am I next to be killed? We had a Black Lives Matter sign, big as a billboard. Because we were exposing our children to what they're going to have to deal with in the next 15 to 20 years. Rodney King got the hell beat out of him in Los Angeles, California, by cops. And that's what we don't want to happen anymore. And as we go through the neighborhood, there's a motorcycle cop standing there waiting on us. And he's staring at us as if we're breaking the law. We're practicing our constitutional right. We're citizens of this country. We have the right to march. We have the right to freedom of speech. But he's there to cause trouble. And as we go down the street, we're getting louder now to let them know that you don't intimidate us. We pay your salary. We pay your house note. We pay for your children to go to college. We put food on your table. We are your employer. You're an employee of the city, but we are your employer. And if the employer has a problem with the employee, God doggy, you're supposed to stand up and say something. So I'm not no cowardly preacher. I'm not scared of nothing but God. I fear no man, no woman. And this is the power that we have to transform into our young folk. And so this cop goes down the other block and he sets up at the other corner. And he's watching us. And we coming through the hood and the brothers are coming out their cars seeing what's going on, what's going down. And they with us. They standing with us. Because they don't see black men with the courage that I have coming through the community saying we love you. We understand why you're in the condition that you're in. We understand who your oppressor is. But black man and brown man, you got to stop destroying your community. You got to protect your community. You got to protect the women. We got to do this thing together. And these brothers is just, they just nodding their head, agreeing with me. And then we left there in the middle of the street and we went down to another one of my sister church's True Foundation, Bishop Easter. He had his whole congregation out there waiting on us. We got about 80 to 100 people behind me. We heading to the next church. It was a beautiful scene to see the little children just waving at us, waiting for us to get there. And we got there and I turned around and the same police cop is sitting up under the tree looking at us, a motorcycle cop. And I told myself, I said, well, ain't no cars out here. What is he doing traffic control? I didn't ask the chief of police to send me no motorcycle cop. So why is he still following us? That's a sense of intimidation. You're under surveillance. But I told our marchers, you stand strong and you stand up. Because ain't nobody bowing down today. Not while I'm here.